I'm excited about Bible school. That's actually what I'm going to be preaching. I think it's on the screens above is the theme of Vacation Bible School this year. And that's our theme song. So if that's the first time you've ever heard that song, and if you're a young person especially, or even if you're a worker in our church, get used to it because that's our theme song this year, and we'll be singing the chorus of that song all week. And I hope by the end of the week, our young people have a desire to live a life above. And that's what we're looking to accomplish this year in Vacation Bible School. I'm looking forward to it. I'm excited about it. I'm going to say a word about that at the end, some things that have to do with Vacation Bible School. But I want to get into the message this morning. I want to say, first off, I'm proud of Nathan. Amen. He's back here smiling. I thought Kelsey was going to pass out. So I seen Nathan making his way up here, and Kelsey got a little faint. She was like, is that my brother going to the platform? But Nathan rose above this morning, and he read the scripture. And you say, well, what's the big deal about that? You come up here and look out across this auditorium. It's not as easy as you think it is. But Brother John told him it's easier than deadlifting in front of a group of people. Your knees get weak. And so I think that was an encouragement. But I'm proud of Nathan doing that, rising above. That's what it's about. I'm sure some of our young people are looking across the auditorium. Some of those that went to youth conference with us a couple years ago, about 6-7 years ago, we went to a youth conference, and that song was the theme of that youth conference. And it's amazing how a song can take your mind to a place. That's why it's important what type of music we listen to. If you listen to the wrong music, it'll take your mind to the wrong place. But if you listen to the right music, it's amazing how God will use that music and it'll take your mind to a place. And it's amazing how God ministers in song. But so I'm looking forward to you learning that song and us singing it during Vacation Bible School. That's what I'm going to be preaching on this morning. We're talking about above, and it's the theme of our Vacation Bible School. And as you can see, I have a plane above my head. And I told Pastor, I think he planned this thing out pretty good, the preaching. Youth Sunday was actually last Sunday. Fifth Sunday is usually Youth Sunday. But we moved it a week, and I wasn't exactly sure. Pastor said it was because of baptism, but I'm not so sure he didn't want me to be the guinea pig preaching underneath the airplane, right? And so he worked that thing out smooth. And so I'm going to test her out and see if she'll hold up through the service this morning. But it's okay. Brother Joe built the airplane. He designed it. He built it. He hung it, and we helped him. But he told me it's good for 24 to 48 hours. He said, I have nothing to worry about for 24 to 48 hours. So I'm feeling pretty good about it. We got it hung about 1 o'clock yesterday, and so I'm feeling pretty good about it. But Pastor's preaching tonight, so y'all pray for him. But Colossians chapter number 3, we're going to be looking in verse number 1 and 2, maybe 3 and 4. But I want to preach this morning on the theme of a Vacation Bible School. This year's theme is above. I looked that word up. The word above means this. It means a higher place. It means in a greater degree. It means beyond the normal, heavenly or celestial. That's what the word above means. And with that thought in mind this morning, with that definition in mind, I want to challenge us. I want to preach to us this morning on living an above life. You say, what do you mean by an above life? I mean a life that is on a higher place. A life that is greater in degree. A life that is beyond the normal. A life that is heavenly or celestial. That's what I mean when I say an above life. It's promotion Sunday here at our church. We promoted many of our young people up to a new grade, a new class, because school's ended and the new year's about to start. And then we have a couple this morning, Brett and Caitlin, have graduated high school. And this morning is also graduation Sunday. There'll be a little bit said about that at the end. But as they graduate, as they move out into a new area of life, I want to challenge them in particular this morning to live an above life. But I don't just want to challenge them. I want to challenge us. God's been challenging me. I was telling Meredith as we have been meditating on this theme for Vacation Bible School for some weeks now. We had narrowed it down to two themes. And I don't know, about a month and a half, 2 months ago, I just really felt like God had settled that this was the theme for Vacation Bible School this year. And I've been meditating on this verse of Scripture and just thinking about it. And God's been doing a work in my heart. And I can honestly say, as I stand before you this morning, I have a desire to live an above life. I want to live a life that's in a higher place. I want to live a life that is beyond normal. I want to live a life that is in another degree, right? A life that's heavenly, a life that is celestial, a life that is above. That's what I want to challenge us with this morning out of Colossians chapter number 3. The Bible says this in verse number 1. It says, if ye then be risen with Christ. That's not our word right there. We're going to see that word above twice in the first two verses. But I will say this, that risen right there to me represents above. You're risen. You've been risen with Christ. That means you've been put above, right? Above some things. And he says, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which, and here's our word, are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. And then he says this in verse 2, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. And I want to preach to us this morning on living the above life. And I got 3 points, a couple sub-points, but I want to get into my message. My first point this morning is this, an above position. An above position. See, if we're going to live an above life, then we must have an above position. You say, what do you mean by that? I mean in verse number 1, he said, if ye then be risen with Christ. He says, when you're risen with Christ, that means you're in a above position. You see, we've been risen. We're above, right? This word if in verse number 1 doesn't mean if as in a question. If you've been saved. That's not what he's saying at all. If you read this in the context that it's written, there's no doubt what the Apostle Paul is saying under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. He's not saying if, like if you've been risen. No, he's saying if as in because you've been risen, since ye have been risen. That's what he's saying here. He's saying if you've been risen with Christ, then this is what you should do, right? He's saying if you have an above position, then this is the kind of life that you should live. And so the first thing I think, the first step to living an above life is we have to realize that we have an above position. We as Christians, we as children of God, we have an above position. You say, what is that position, Brother David? It is a spiritual position. I almost used my point here as a supernatural position. You see, we've been risen. Risen with Christ. You say, what do you mean by that? I mean this. I mean, there was a time when we were dead in trespasses and sins. The Bible says that we were dead in Ephesians chapter number 2, I believe it is. Ephesians chapter number 2, the Bible says, you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. But you've been made alive. You've been risen with Christ. Colossians chapter 3, look over Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, look at verse number 12. It says this. It says, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And you, look at it, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. You see, we have an above position. You say, why do we have an above position? Because our position is a supernatural position. It is a spiritual position. We have been risen with Christ. If you're saved this morning, I hope somehow I've been praying, God help me to really drive this first point home, because this is where it all begins. If we're going to live an above life, then we have to realize our position. We have to realize that we have an above position. It doesn't make us better than anybody else. It just makes us better off. Did you hear that? Just before somebody leaves this morning, it says, Brother David said that we have an above position. We're better than other people. Let me tell you something this morning. Young people, really listen to me. My children, really listen to me. We're not better than anybody else. Just because you're growing up in a preacher's home, or just because your parents are deacons or serving the church, or just because you call yourself a Christian, or just because of certain things in your life, don't think you're any better than anybody else, because you're not. We're not better than anybody else. But I do want us to understand this. We're much better off. We have an above position because we are spiritual. We're supernatural. We've been risen with Christ. If you're saved this morning, your old man is dead. You can read it in Romans chapter number 6. I won't take the time to go there this morning, but in Romans chapter 6, the Bible says that we were buried with Christ. We were buried in the likeness of his baptism. We've been raised to walk in the newness of life. We represented that last week. We had a baptismal service here at the church, and you say, what was that all about? That was some folks outwardly showing what had inwardly happened. They were showing us something that had happened to them on the inside. And what was that? They died. They were buried with Christ and they were raised to walk in the newness of life. That is a supernatural position. It's a spiritual position. See, before we get saved, we are dead in our trespasses and sins. We're dead men walking. We're under the condemnation and we're dead and we're under the condemnation of our flesh. And then when we get saved, we become alive in Christ. We're risen with Christ. Our spirits are made alive and we have a new position. It's a spiritual position. It's a supernatural position. It's something that this world knows nothing about. That's our position. It's a spiritual position. It's a supernatural position. We've been risen with Christ. The old man is dead. And the new man has been raised to walk in the newness of life. And Brother Moore preached it at our tent meeting. And I'm not going to re-preach that message, but you ought to read Romans chapter 6 and really dig into the truths of Romans chapter 6 and chapter 7 and chapter 8. I'll give you another verse that teaches this. Galatians chapter number 2, verse number 20. The Apostle Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. You know when somebody's crucified, they're dead. You do realize when you're crucified, that means you're dead. Jesus was crucified. He died, right? Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Paul, what do you mean? You were dead? Yes, I was dead, and I died with Christ, and I was buried in his likeness. But then I was raised a supernatural being, a spiritual being. I have a new position in Christ Jesus. He said, I was crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul said, I'm crucified. I died, but I'm alive, right? It's all throughout the Bible. I mean, if I had time this morning, I could show you verse after verse after verse that teaches that when you get saved, your old man dies and a new man is birthed inside of you. It's a spiritual man. He's a supernatural man. And that is our position. And the first step to living an above life is understanding that we have an above position. Number two, not only do we have an above position, a spiritual position, we have a secured position. Look at verse number 3. He said, if you then be risen with Christ, right? You have a new position. You've been saved. You've been born again. You've been raised up to walk in a new life. He said, you've been risen. You have an above position. It's a spiritual position. It's a supernatural position, but it's also a secured position. I really like this one right here. Look at verse number 3. The Bible says this, for you're dead. He's saying it again. He's saying you're dead. You say, what do you mean you're dead? But I'm alive, right? He said, you're dead, but you're alive. You're dead, but you're alive. It's because you've got two beings. You've got that old man, and you've got that new man, and that old man, he's a dead man, but that new man, he's a supernatural man. He's a spiritual man. He's an alive man. Are you with me this morning? I want you to really get a hold of this truth because it's the only way we'll ever live an above life. Is we got to understand that we are no longer that old man. We're a new man. We're a new creature in Christ Jesus, raised to walk in the newness of life. And so we are a supernatural being. We have a supernatural position, but we also have a secured position. I like it. Look at verse number 3. He said, for you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. I'm going to tell you right now, that ought to get you excited a little bit right there. Your head with Christ in God. I'm talking about that is as secure as you possibly can get. Somebody this morning ought to get real excited about the fact that you are secure. Can I tell you, hey, sin hath no dominion over you. I talked about Romans chapter number 6, right after he talks about being buried and being raised to walk in the newness of life. He says a couple verses later, sin hath no dominion over you. You're freed from sin. You're no longer under the bondage and the penalty and the power of sin. You've been set free. He said you have a secure position. Sin can't control you. Satan can't have you. Satan can't have you this morning. Can I tell you, we live in a world where Satan has many people and many people's lives, and Satan can oppress us, but Satan cannot possess us because we are secure. We are hid with Christ in God. John chapter number 10, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and they know me, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. For my Father that gave me them is greater than all, and no man's able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Can I tell you, you're so secure this morning, you're in the hand of Jesus, and Jesus in the hand of God. And I'm telling you, we're secure this morning. We're hid in Christ with God. We have an above position. We have a spiritual, supernatural position. We have a secured position. See, the devil wants you living under the circumstances. And I've heard our pastor say it many times. He asked a lady one time, how you doing? She said, pretty good under the circumstances. He said, what are you doing under them? Don't live under the circumstances. Live above them. Amen. Live above them. Amen. You're secure in God, in Christ, in God. There's no better security in all the world. I was thinking about this illustration, and I got to hurry this morning, but I was thinking about this illustration. How many of you ever play hide and seek with your children? Some of the adults are saying, hey, I play without my children. What's wrong with that, right? We have children, and they like to play hide and seek. I don't always play, I know. When I was thinking about giving this illustration, I was saying, my kids are going to tell me when I get home, you don't ever want to play hide and seek. It's because we done found all the hiding places in the house. There's nowhere to hide, right? You know all the good spots. But I was thinking about, you ever played hide and seek before? And I've done this, and I believe many of you have done this. I thought of one that I know did this. I thought about you, Lauren. We played a game of hide and seek. She's smiling now. We played a game of hide and seek about, I don't know, probably 10 years ago or more. Lauren was a teenager in the youth group, and she was visiting the church and coming to youth activities and stuff. And we had a game, and we played hide and seek here in the building. And we told them you can't hide in the, you know, up on the platform or a certain place you couldn't go. But anywhere else in the building is free game. You can hide. And Lauren hid. And if I remember correctly, I mean, I'm serious. I think we actually, like, moved on. You ever played a game of hide and seek and you found such a good spot that, like, you at first you was like, nobody's gonna find me. This is great. Nobody is gonna find me here. This is the best hiding spot ever. And then about 5 minutes goes by and you're thinking, I hope somebody finds me. It's getting hot in here, right? Man, you start wanting to try to rattle and make some noise so somebody will find you, right? And then you start hearing other things pitter-patter and you're like, they done quit playing. They've done moved on from hide and seek, right? They done forgot I was even in the game. I really think that's what happened with Lauren almost. She was hiding and her spot was so good. We looked and looked and looked and we finally got back and we were all kind of gathered around and we were getting ready to start eating our snack or whatever that we had that night. And somebody said, where is Lauren at? I was like, I don't know. So I started walking through the building hollering, Lauren, Lauren, come out, the game's over, right? The game's over. And then here Lauren climbs out of one of our, and we still got them in our kitchen back here, one of the trash cans. Am I lying? Telling the truth. Lauren was in one of the trash cans with the lid on. When she got out, she was sweating. her hair matted to her face, you know. She got out, and I mean, it was like, I can't breathe, you know. She lived, Corey, thank God for you and Ezra. She made it, but I'm glad we didn't find her. You know, Sunday morning, pastor coming there, throw something away. Where did Lauren come from, right? But no, she survived, but she had a good hiding spot, right? Can I tell you, we got a way better hiding spot than that. We're hid in Christ with God. The devil can't find us. The Apostle Paul said this in 1 Corinthians. He said, oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? You see, hey, sin can't get you. Death can't get you. Hell can't get you. Satan can't get you. I'm telling you, we are hid. We are secure. We are in Christ, in God. Amen. That's our position. It's an above position. It's a spiritual, supernatural position. It is a secured position. I'm glad this morning that I am secure in Christ Jesus. Amen. Number three on that point is, it's a superior position. It's a supernatural position. It's a secure position, but as I've already kind of mentioned, it's a superior position. And as I said, I'm not saying we're better than anybody. I'm just saying we're better off. We're better off. You see, in Ephesians chapter 6, the Bible says this, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You see, we are in a superior position. We were children of disobedience, Ephesians chapter 2. We were children of wrath, Ephesians chapter 2. But now, it says in verse number 4, I think, of Ephesians chapter 2, it says, but God, who is rich in mercy with his great love, wherewith he loved us, has raised us up with Christ to sit in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. You see, we were under the condemnation. John chapter 3, verse 36 says, he that hath the Son hath life, but he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. life, and the wrath of God abideth on him. You see, before we got saved, and if you're here this morning and you are not saved, the wrath of Almighty God is abiding and abiding and abiding on you. But when you get saved, when you get risen with Christ, when your position changes, not only is that supernatural, not only is that spiritual, not only is that a secure position, but can I tell you, it is a superior position. We're no longer children of wrath. We're no longer children of disobedience. We're no longer under the condemnation. No, we are seated with Christ in God at the right hand of God the Father. That's what it says here. Look at Colossians chapter 3. He says, for you are dead, your life is hid with Christ. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Verse 2 says that, no, yeah, verse number 1 says that where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. So if I'm in Christ and Christ is at the right hand of God, where does that make me? Yeah. Spiritually speaking. You say, Brother David, you're standing in this pulpit. Yeah. Physically speaking, I'm standing here. Spiritually speaking, I'm in Christ at the right hand of God. Yeah. I was trying to wrap my mind around some of this before I was preaching. I said, I don't want to preach false doctrine. And I know Pastor, he'll rebuke me if I do. And if I have, I want him to say it because I'm not trying to preach any false doctrine. But I'm telling you right now, it's what Pastor Brandon preached a couple months ago. It's what Brother Moore preached during our tent meeting. It's our state versus our standing. Our physical state is right here in this earth. But if you're saved by the grace of God, you've been risen and you're seated in heavenly places. Spiritually speaking, you're as good as already in heaven. So live like it. That's what Paul's saying. He's saying, reckon yourselves, mortify your deeds. He's saying, hey, live like what you are. And that is a spiritual, supernatural, secure, superior person.
Amen.
Above. We have an above position. Number two, not only do we have an above position, but verse number one, he also says, we need to have an above pursuit. Above pursuit. Look at it. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. You see it? Seek those things which are above. He said you have an above position. So have an above pursuit. I hope some of you young people are listening this morning. Would to God some of our young people, my children included, would get a hold of what I'm trying to tell you this morning. If you're saved, live like it. God help me to live like it. I have an above position. Therefore, I should have an above pursuit. He said, seek those things which are above. You say, what does that word seek mean? To seek means to go in search of. Endeavor to find. To be in pursuit of. That's what the word seek means. He said, seek those things which are above. He says, pursue them. Go after them. Search for them. The above things. I wonder what we've been pursuing this past week. I know, I don't know if it's as hot to y'all as it is to me right now, but it is hot. So hold on. Wake up, fan your neighbor, do something. I'm telling you right now, we need this. What did you pursue this week? What have I pursued this week? I know this is some serious stuff I'm preaching to you this morning. And I know there's some people that I know because my flesh does it. Sometimes our flesh just wants to buck against stuff like this. But I'm telling you right now, I'm showing you what the Bible says, and I'm going to show you what Jesus says here in a minute. But I'm telling you right now that we need to have a above pursuit. An above pursuit. I wonder what we're seeking. Are we seeking money? We're seeking a certain figure in our checking account. Maybe somebody say, man, I'm gonna be a millionaire. They keep on sending out these stimulus checks. I'm going to be a millionaire before long, right? Never thought it would happen, but old Joe's going to get me there. I'm going to be a millionaire. And I ain't going to be able to buy a stinking car with it, but I'm going to have it, right? Looking for a certain number in your banking account. Looking for a promotion, pursuing a promotion at work. Seeking a degree in some area, studying, working, trying to get that degree, put that plaque on the wall, trying to win a championship for some team. Young people spend all their time pursuing, oh, we're going to win the championship. Yeah, and you know what? They're going to give you a trophy that you won't even know where it's at in 10 years. Probably two. I'm not being mean, I'm being honest. What are you pursuing? A relationship with the opposite sex? I hope so. I hate to have to say that, but hey, if you are, praise the Lord. But I mean, is that your number one goal? Right? Jesus said this in Matthew chapter number 6, verse 33. He said, seek ye first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Listen to me this morning. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You say, what are all these things, Brother Dave? Go home this afternoon and read Matthew chapter number 6. He said, I'm taking care of the fowls of the air. I'm taking care of the flowers in the field. And I'm going to take care of you. He says, you don't have to seek those things. I'll get you that promotion at work. I'll get you that person of the opposite sex. And I promise you, if you get a person of the opposite sex, if God gets you a person, they're going to be of the opposite sex. I just want to throw that out there for you. But He'll find you that person of the opposite sex. He'll find you. He'll get you that promotion at work. If He wants you to make that money, He'll get you that account that you're looking for. He'll get you those things. He says, you seek me first, and I'll give you all these other things. What are you pursuing this morning? What am I pursuing this morning? What are we in pursuit of? He said, we need to pursue above things. Also in Matthew chapter number 6, Jesus said this in verse number 19. He said, lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. You see, Jesus said, hey, you need to be laying up. That means you need to be pursuing, right? Heavenly things, not earthly things. That's what Jesus said. I think Jesus is saying we should have an above pursuit. 1 Corinthians chapter number 9, the Apostle Paul said it this way in verse number 24. He said, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. Then he goes on to say this. Now they do it, listen, they do it to obtain a corruptible crown. That's that crown that rusts and rots. You with me? That's those crowns that rust and rot. That's those trophies. That's that money. That's that new car. That's that promotion at work. That's those things that this world is going after as hard as they can go after. Jesus said those things, they rust and rot. Paul said in 1 Corinthians, he said those things are corruptible crowns. Those things won't last. Can I tell you, those riches, they'll make wings and fly away. That car, it'll rust. That house one day is probably going to rot. He said, they do it to obtain a corruptible crown. But listen, he said, but we, an incorruptible. What's Paul saying? Paul's saying this. You should have an above pursuit. Paul's saying, don't spend all your time. David Oliver, don't spend all your time. Don't spend your life for things on this earth. Don't spend your life. Don't spend the life that I've given you for the things below. Spend your life for the things above. God help me. I'm not preaching to you this morning. I'm preaching to us this morning. I don't want to waste my life living for things that are going to rot and things that are going to rust and things that are going to vanish and go away. No, I want to live my life for things that are going to be permanent, things that are going to be protected. Jesus said, He said, where the thief can't break through and steal, where neither moth or rust doth corrupt. Jesus said, hey, there's a place, there's a prize, there's a reward, there's a pursuit that's permanent. It's going to last beyond time. It's protected. It's there with Him in heaven. It's better than your 401k. It's better than the US dollar. It's better than your house. It's better than your cars. It's better than your job. It's better than all those things. It's permanent. It's protected. It's forever. He's saying that's what you need to live for. God help me to live for that. God help some of these young people. Those of you, Caitlin and Brett, you're going out into I don't say the real world, you've been living in the real world, but it's about to get a little more real. Don't live for the things of this world. The things of this world will leave you empty. The things of this world will leave you bankrupt. The things of this world won't bring any joy, any happiness. Look at them all over Hollywood, the athletes and the upper class in our society. Can I tell you, those riches, they don't do nothing for you. That title, that promotion, that stuff means nothing. What's going to matter is what we got 1,000 years from now. Wood, hay, and stubble, or gold and precious jewels. I told my wife yesterday, I'm hurrying, I promise you. I got one more point. She says, I got to quit saying that, so forgive me. I'm going to try by the grace of God to stop saying I'm almost done. I'm serious, because I'm never done. I'm like Brother Moore, I like it. I'm never done. I'm going to stop. I'm not done. I hope. But I didn't know what I was saying. What was I talking about? Jewels. Oh, I was talking about these decorations. That's what I was thinking about. I wasn't talking about it, but I was thinking about it. Now, I didn't put the time in this that Joe did. And I'm not doing this pat Joe on the back. I'm serious. I'm not doing this pat Joe on the back because I'm not trying to steal Joe's reward. But I'm going to tell you right now, Joe put a lot of time and thought into this plane right here. But we come up here, and some of us, and I won't steal nobody else's reward, so I'm not going to mention your name right now. I'm just playing. We put time into building this and painting it and getting it up in the air. And I told my wife yesterday afternoon, we sitting on the porch, and I said, you know, Meredith, I said, all day yesterday in my heart, I just kept saying, God, don't let me do it for the wrong reason. God, please don't let me do it for the wrong reason. I have no desire this morning to impress anybody. I mean that. I got over that. I told Meredith yesterday, and I said, there was a time where I did. And now, don't get me wrong, my flesh is wicked, because if I'm not careful, right person walk through the door and have a seat in the church, and I'll start thinking, oh, man, I hope I preach a good one today. Hey, I'm just being real with you. You sing, you preach, you teach, you work, you do things for God, but I wonder why we do what we do. I don't want to spend the hours in decorations and the hours in the planning and the hours of vacation Bible school so that somebody can say, wow, Fellowship Baptist Church has got the best vacation Bible school. Wow, they do the best decorations. They do the greatest. And I'm not saying that stuff's bad. I'm not saying that, but I'm saying that ain't why I want to do it. I want to do it because God is worthy. Because Jesus deserves our best. Because we want these children to know that this is serious and it's important and it means something to us. We're willing to spend money on it. We're willing to spend our time on it. We're willing to do what it takes because, why? Because God is worthy and because Jesus is great and because He deserves it.
Amen.
See, that's the stuff that's going to last. I told my wife, I said, if you sing for the wrong reason, that's wood, hay, and stubble. If I preach to impress or to get a pat on the back, it's wood, hay, and stubble. If we build these decorations so we can say, oh, we got the best decorations, boy, we can outdo, you know, the church of 10,000 with 300. We have the greatest vacation Bible school there is. That's wood, hay, and stubble. He says, don't pursue those things. Pursue heavenly things, above things. Number three, and I'm done. We have an above position. We have an above pursuit. And then I believe he says this, we ought to have above passion. Look at verse number 2. He says, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. That word set there, I looked it up. That word set means this. It means to fix something. Not fix it like you would a broken car. This plane was set right there. It's fixed, I hope. Sure, I sure pray to God it is. It's fixed right there. He said, set your affections. Fix them. Another definition of set is to be put in the proper place. I broke my finger playing church softball. You probably can't tell it from there. When I do that, it's pretty funny. But I broke my finger playing church softball a couple of years. That's the reason you shouldn't play church softball. That's worldly thing. That's the thing below. That's that stuff that rusts and rots and corrupts, right? I can say that now that I'm no good. I really wasn't ever any good, but I've realized it now. Since I've realized I'm no good, now I can say that's carnal. That's worldly. Anyway, I broke my finger playing softball one year. They put me in the infield where I don't belong, and I went to get a ground ball, and I stuck my hand in my glove before the ball got there. And it broke my finger. And then I made a bad throw because my finger was broke. And Marcus was mad at me and, you know, ready to kick me off the team because I threw the ball bad to first base. And I said, man, I broke my finger. I don't want excuses. I don't accept excuses, right? And he didn't care. My finger was broke. Get the ball to first base. Use your left hand. Run it over. I don't care. Get the ball to first base, right? But anyway, I didn't get it set. And so now it's crooked. And Meredith always, I mean, it just drives her crazy. Leah's laughing. It drives Meredith crazy when I'm preaching to the teenagers and I throw my finger up and it's crooked. And she's like, you are so dumb. You go to the doctor if you get a runny nose, but you break your finger and you won't go, right? So, I think I got cancer. I need to go to the doctor. Oh, I broke my finger. I'm not going to the doctor, right? But you got to get your finger set. Put it back in the right place, right? Put it right back in the right place. So that's what he's saying. He's saying set your affections. He's saying fix them on the right thing. Put them in the right place. You say, what is an affection? Your affections, it's your, I believe he's speaking here, I really do. I believe he's speaking of the mind mainly, but also the heart. Your whole being. I believe he's really saying this. I think the Apostle Paul is saying, under the inspiration of God, set your affections, set your mind, set your heart, set your whole being on things above. Fix it on those things. I'll tell you why we have such a hard time with this. I believe it's because we're constantly pursuing things below. And it's hard to fix our affection on things above when we're always pursuing things below. Did you get that? If all I think about is work, if all I think about is money, if all I think about is that promotion, if all I think about is the team, if all I think about is things down below, then that's where my passion's going to be. Jesus taught that in those verses that I was teaching in Matthew chapter, that I was reading in Matthew chapter 6. Jesus actually taught that in Matthew chapter 6. In verse 21, he said, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Jesus said, that thing that you're pursuing, that thing that you're laying up, that thing that you're going so hard after, he said, that's where your heart's going to be. That's where your affection is going to be. He goes on to say, for no man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Now, I know because I'm made of the same stuff you are. There's somebody sitting here this morning thinking, Brother David, what do you mean? So I'm not supposed to try to get a promotion at work. I'm not supposed to try to make money and provide for my family. I'm not supposed to get a degree. I'm not supposed to, you know, learn a trade. I'm not saying that at all. That's not what I'm saying at all. But I'm saying this. I'm saying if that's what you're living for, if that's your number one goal in life, then you're living for things below. Hear me, young people. See, some of us older people, if we're not careful, we'll get so trapped in that lifestyle that when somebody stands up and preaches something different to our young people, we'll get offended by it. Because we've been living for things below so long, it bothers us that somebody would challenge us about our lifestyle. But I'm here to tell some of you young people that are here, don't get stuck in that trap. Don't live for the things of this world. They will not please you. They will not make you happy. They will not give you the things you want from life. Live for things above. Pursue things above. And if God wants you to be a millionaire, you'll be a millionaire. If God wants you to get a promotion, you'll get a promotion. If God wants you to win a championship, by all means, you'll win a championship. But don't put that stuff first in your life. Put God first in your life. Pursue God and the things of God. And then your passion, my passion, will be in the right place. Fix it. Set it. Our passion, our minds, our hearts, our beings on things above. He speaks of affection. I believe he speaks of attention, right? He said, set your affection. I believe the things we set our affection on, they're going to get our attention. Jesus said, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. That's what's going to have your attention. Can I tell you, not only that, that's what's going to have your allegiance. That's what Jesus said when he said, no man can serve two masters. You know, whatever has your affection is going to have your allegiance. Amen, Brother Dave, that's good preaching. Hey, my wife's got my affection. And so she's got my allegiance. Right? If the things of God, if the things above have our affection, they will have our attention and they will have our allegiance. That's what we will live for. But if our pursuit is things below, if they have all of our attention and if they have all of our affection, can I tell you, they're going to have all of our allegiance. We won't have time for revival meeting. We won't have time for tent meeting. We won't have time for vacation Bible school. We won't have time for church. We won't have time for soul winning. We won't have time for the things of God because they don't have our allegiance. No, these things do. Are you with me? Please hear me this morning. I'm afraid that so many young people, see, your allegiance is to some sports team, or your allegiance is to your cell phone, or to your boyfriend or your girlfriend, or whatever. You've got your allegiance in the wrong place, and I'll tell you why. It's because you got your attention in the wrong place. And you know why you got your attention in the wrong place? Because you've got your affection in the wrong place. This is a choice. Seek is a choice. Set is a choice. You don't have to do it, but he says you should. God's not going to make you. Now I'm really done. I shouldn't have said that. I'm not done. I'm going to stop. I got to stop doing that because I don't know what I was saying. ate up with it, man. I'm telling you right now, it's bad. But anyway, yeah. It'll come to me during the invitation, and then I'll remember what I was going to say. But anyway, get your attention on the things above. Set your affections on the things above. Let's stop living for the things of this world. Young people, give God your attention. Fix your mind. Set your mind. Seek. Make a choice. That's what I was saying. It's a choice. God's not going to force us. God is not going to force us to live for him. Actually, it's a little bit of the opposite. The devil, the world, I heard it years ago. The world wants to conform you. The flesh wants to control you. And the devil wants to crush you. And they're going to do everything they can to make us live for things below. And I'm just telling you this morning, if we're going to live for things above, it's going to be because we choose to. We decide, I am going to pursue the heavenly. That's going to have my attention. That's going to have my affection. That's going to have my allegiance above. I want to challenge you this morning. Live a life above. God help me to live a life above. That song they sang this morning, I was talking to Meredith about that as well yesterday. You know, that song sings like in past tense. Up above, we'll see it clearly. Up above, we'll understand why. Up above, we'll, you know, see that Jesus was led by the nail-scarred hand. But can I tell you, I thought, you know, you could change the words to that song. And you could literally, instead of making it past tense, you could make it present tense. Up above, we see things clearly. Up above, we understand why. This world doesn't. They don't see clearly. They don't understand why. They look out and they see the chaos in our world. They see the wars and the rumors of wars. They see the control, the government trying to take over people's lives. They see all these things and they don't understand why. But we as Christians, when we're living above this world, when we're living in the position that God's given us and we're pursuing the things we're supposed to be pursuing, we see it clearly. We understand why, and I understand that we see through a glass half darkly right now, and one day we're going to see it real clear, but I'm talking about even now in this life, if we'll live above, God will help us to understand some things. He'll help us to see some things. He'll help us to know that Jesus is guiding our lives the whole way. So I want to challenge you this morning, hey, don't live below. Live above. God help me to live above. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your goodness, and God, thank you for your word, and God, I pray, Lord, that you would take my words and, God, your message. Lord, I pray more than anything you take your words. God, would you do a heart in our lives. God, my life individually. God, I want to seek things above. God, help me not to live for the things of this world. God, I pray for our young people this morning that they would live the above life. God, help Fellowship Baptist Church to be a church that is living above. We love you. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.